The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 28, Text number 44, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on July 24th, 2010, in Vancouver, Canada.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 28. Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service, text number 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmad imang svang prakritin. Dhaiving sadasanatmikam. Durvibhavyang parabhavya. Sarupena vatishtate. Tasmanimang svaprakritin. Dhaiving sarasadatmikam. Durvibhavyang parabhavya. Sarupena vatishtate. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation, and is therefore very difficult to understand. Purport. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the spell of Maya, which covers the knowledge of the living entity, is insurmountable. However, one who surrenders unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can conquer this seemingly insurmountable spell of Maya. Here also it is stated that the Daivi Prakriti, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord, is Durvi Bhavya, very difficult to understand and very difficult to conquer. One must, however, conquer this insurmountable spell of Maya, and this is possible by the grace of the Lord when God reveals Himself to the surrendered soul. It is also stated here, Svarupena Vatishtate. Svarupa means that one has to know that he is not the Supreme Soul, but rather part and partial of the Supreme Soul. That is self-realization. To think falsely that one is the Supreme Soul and that one is all-pervading is not Svarupa. This is not realization of his actual position. The real position is that one is part and parcel. It is recommended here that one remain in that position of actual self-realization. In Bhagavad Gita, this understanding is defined as Brahman realization. After Brahman realization, one can engage in the activities of Brahman. As long as one is not self-realized, he engages in activities based on false identification with the body. When one is situated in his real self, then the activities of mind realization begin. The Mayavadi philosophers say that after Brahman realization, all activities stop, but that is not actually so. If the soul is so active in its abnormal condition, existing under the covering of matter, how can one deny its activities when free? As an example may be cited here, if a man is in a disease condition, is very active, how can one imagine that when he is free from the disease, he will be inactive? Naturally, the conclusion is that when one is free from all disease, his activities are pure. It may be said that the activities of one realization are different from those of conditioned life, but that does not stop activity. This is indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54. After one realizes oneself to be Brahman, devotional service begins. Mad bhaktim labhate param. After Brahman realization, one can engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service of the Lord is activity in Brahman realization. For those who engage in devotional service, there is no spell of Maya, and their situation is all perfect. The duty of the living entity as part and parcel of the whole is to render devotional service to the whole. That is the ultimate perfection of life. And thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 28th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Kapila's Instructions on the Execution of Devotional Service. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Vada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. And so, as I was reading this purport, something jumped out of the page. One statement that Prabhupada made. Yes, this sentence was amazing to me. One must, however, conquer this insurmountable spell of Maya, and this is possible by the grace of the Lord when God reveals himself to the surrendered soul. We pray for that revelation. Jagannatha Swami, Jnana Patagami, Bhavatume. In other words, what Prabhupada is saying here, that unless Krishna is revealed to you, unless Krishna is revealed to us, you see, we can't conquer Maya. Now, this is the difference between the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas. You understand? The Mayavadi, he wants to conquer Maya without Krishna. You understand? By his own strength. Oh, Krishna's form is false. Arupa, he has no form. You see? I will conquer by my tapa. By my tapasya. Tapasa brahmacharena samenacha damenacha. I will conquer the material nature by my tapa. But actually, he never is able to do that. He's only given the illusion that he's liberated, actually. What does Bhagavatam say? Vimukti maninas. In his mind, he's thinking he's liberated, but it's vimukti maninas. It's simply in the mind only. It's not genuine liberation. Even though it's listed, so yuja mukti is listed as one of the 5 types of liberation. It's not really, it's kind of like sneaking in there, but the types of liberation is not really liberation. Just like when I was many years ago in our Dallas temple, back in my brahmachari days, and this is 72. Someone called the temple. They were an inmate in a low security prison in Texas. They got a pass to come to the Sunday love feast. So I went out and picked him up, drove about 20 miles east of Dallas out Interstate 30, picked him up, brought him to the feast, and then after the feast, I took him back to the prison. You see, now was he out of prison? Of course, you say because he was in the kirtan, he was definitely out of prison, but from the standpoint of the state of Texas, was he now a released person? No. He appeared to be released because he was walking freely, you see, away from the prison. But yet he was there, that connection, there was still that subtle connection. He was still chained to the prison. So in the Mayavadi, he may appear to be liberated, but he's still chained to this material world because he still has that conception that I am God, you see. He hasn't given up that I am Lord mentality. So even though he appears to be liberated because of his pious activities, he has that weekend pass. But patanti yadho, Bhagavatam says, they come back again to the material existence. They're not really liberated. So they try to conquer the spell of Maya, and they actually think they have done it without Krishna being revealed to them. But they actually have not done it. So if you want to become free from the insurmountable, or as Prabhupada says, seemingly insurmountable spell of the material nature, then you have to qualify yourself that Krishna reveal himself to you. You have to. There's really no other way about it. If we're not qualifying ourselves for Krishna to reveal himself to us, we are remaining within the clutches of the material nature. That's why I really relish this one of the orders that Prabhupada personally gave me. He said, now, in one letter he wrote me, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Because that's actually the qualification to really become completely free from Maya, you see. To actually be able to see Krishna face to face. Therefore, Brahmaji is given very nice. Shloka preman jana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu viloka yanti yang shama shunyaram achintya gunasva rupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I love that. This is so much better than Shakespeare, you know. Shakespeare is a crude, babbling fool compared to Srila Vyasadeva and Brahmanji. So amazing poetry. So beautiful poetry. Yeah, so Brahmanji is saying that when one's eyes become anointed, you see, with that sight of love of God, you see, then that supreme, all powerful, all-beautiful, all-renowned, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, all-famous personality, Bhagavan, known as Krishna, he will completely reveal himself to the devotee, both Prabhupada said, from within and from without also. In other words, when Krishna becomes fully revealed within, you can see him everywhere at the same time, within and without. The verse says within, but Prabhupada added that actually includes without at the same time. And this point is also made in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 30. Yomang pashyati sarvacha sarvangchamayi pashyati chasaham na prabhashami sachamena pranashyati. From one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So would you like to get plugged into the source of your existence? This is a very nice lamp, you see, but if it's disconnected from the powerhouse, it doesn't have any illuminating, it's lost its illuminating power, you see, because it got disconnected from the powerhouse. So what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? This is what it means. You flip that switch that reconnects you with the source of your existence, Krishna. You simply got to flip that switch. It's really not difficult to be Krishna conscious. We make it difficult, but it's the most easy thing you can do. It's as easy as flipping the switch. That's how easy it is to become Krishna conscious. But we don't have faith. You know, we're sitting here with the switch, we're thinking, well, I don't know. If I flip this switch, what's going to happen? I might lose this, I might lose that. We're scared to flip the switch of complete surrender to Krishna. We're holding on to our material attachments. Well, I may have to give up this body. I'm going to give it up anyway. You see, we should just have complete faith and say, my dear Lord Krishna, I completely belong to you now. That's all. I have nothing else except to serve you, to love you, to think about you, to talk about you, to hear about you. I have no other business for now, from now on, for all of eternity. My dear Lord, my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in every time, place, and situation now is completely for your pleasure. I'm tired of trying to be a rebel, trying to throw, you know, pull off a coup d'etat in your creation, that I will be the center. Why you should be the center? I want to be the center. Pretty stupid, isn't it? That we tried to be God. Can you imagine how idiotic that was? That we wanted to try to pull off a coup d'etat in the spiritual world. But why Krishna gets to be the one who enjoys all the gopis? Why not me? So Krishna said, okay, you want to enjoy some gopis? You know, go to the material world and give it a try. Good luck. We try to be the enjoyers, either as men, as we've tried every way, male, female, human being, animal, plant. It's listed in the Vishnu Purana, you know. 8,400,000 ways to try to be the enjoyer. Chalajana valakshani stavala laksha vingshati krimaya rudra sankhya ka pakshinam dashalakshanam trincha lakshani pashavaha chatur lakshani manashaha. Jalaja, you know the meaning? Jala is water and ja means birth. Water born, literally, jalada means water born. So what are the living beings that are water born? The aquatics, you see. So Navalakshani, there are 900,000 types of aquatics. Jalaja, Navalakshani, Stavada. Sta, just like this is a stand. You see, a stand means stays in sta, stand, the same thing. Stavada means those living entities that stand in one place. The plants and the trees. Stavada laksha vingshati. 2 million types, 20 lakhs of standing in one place. Stationed, you see, stationed. Stavara, stationed in one place. Living beings. Of course, there's a few exceptions. I mean, these tumbleweed. It's stationed to begin with. You've seen the tumbleweed. They don't have tumbleweed in Canada. Now in the New Mexico, they have the tumbleweed. It rolls with the wind. But it must have been stationed at one time. But it's still considered among the stationaries. Because the wind doesn't blow, it stays in one place. So anyway, the next one, Stavada Lakshmi, Krimaya Rudra Sankhyaka. You know what the krimis are? Who knows what the krimis are? Well, if you've studied the fifth canto, you know about krimi bhojana. Not a very... krimi bhojana is a place in the hellish region. It's a huge lake. And what is it filled with? Krimi. Krimi means worms. So in Krimi Bhojana, every single living entity there is a worm. And guess what kind of diet they have? There's nothing else to eat. They are cannibals. And who goes to Krimi Bhojana? People who eat unoffered food. Even vegetarians, it's described, even vegetarians who don't offer their food. Sometimes we see people in there, yes, I am veg. But unless you offer to Krishna, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to also go to Krimi. Unless you offer to the Lord, the Supreme Person, you have to also go to Krimi Bhojana and be eaten by worms and eat worms. So if you don't like to eat worms or to be eaten by worms, make sure to offer your food before you take the. That's the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krimi means worm. So Krimiya Rudra, that's the insects, the worms, and the reptiles. Krimiya Rudra Sankhya Ka, that means 1 million, 11 lakhs, 1,100,000 types of worms and reptiles. Pakshinam Dasha Lakshanam, 1 million types of birds. Trinksha Lakshani, Pashavaha, 3 million types of beasts. And Chatur Lakshani, Manushaha, 400,000 types of human beings. So, this is all we've tried to enjoy in all these different ways. Being an aquatic, being a stationary, being a worm or a reptile, being a bird, being a beast, and being 400,000 different types of human beings. See, where are these 400,000 species? What is the Vedas talking about? It's not only this planet, it's the whole universe. We see only a few varieties here. You know, you got blacks, whites, you got Indians, Chinese, you know. There's some distinct types of bodily features here, but not 400,000 types. But if you, this 400,000 refers to the entire universe. There's these different types are throughout the whole universe. So we've tried through every conceivable this gender, that gender, this body, that body. We've been trying like anything to enjoy. And in each and every case, we thought, well, I wasn't satisfied in this particular type of body, so let me try a different one. It's like being in a prison. Just imagine you. You're in prison and you're thinking, you know, I don't like this life in here. Maybe if I go to a different cell, then I'll be happy. I get a cell, right now my cell faces east. Let me get a cell that faces north. Or get a cell with padding, a little more padding, or maybe a chair in the cell, or a television set in the cell, you know. The intelligent person thinks, no, if I want to be happy, I should get out of the prison altogether. That is intelligence, you see. Let me get out of this place. Let me get out of this place. But they don't conceive there's any existence beyond the prison. How foolish. They don't conceive there's any existence beyond the prison. Therefore, they remain in the prison, trying to jockey their way to a better position within the prison. I was one time a prisoner. I committed a very heinous crime. I was distributing Back to Godhead magazines, and I got arrested for the horrible crime of distributing Back to Godhead magazine. They took me away in the police car. They put me in a cell, locked me up. You're under arrest, boy. What you're doing is against the law here in Leesburg, Florida. We know your type. We're putting you in jail. So I noticed in the jail, there were certain prisoners that had privileges that I didn't have. They were called the trustees. They got to, they could open their cell door was not locked. Of course, the whole jail was locked, but they got to wander freely within the cell, jail block, or the cell, yeah, they call it the cell block, yeah. They got to wander within the cell block from, you know, they could come and talk with this prisoner, come, you know, how you doing today, you know. They came and talked with me a little bit. I forget what they said, but like the trustees could wander up and down the cell block And I thought, yeah, we're really enjoying because the other ones are locked in, and here we're free to move back and forth up and down the cell block. But you see, they're also in jail, you see. So what is the advantage of being a so-called trustee when you're also in jail? What is the advantage of even becoming Brahmaji, the supreme demigod of this entire material world? What is the advantage of even being a Brahmaji? You see, here we're jockeying for position. Yeah, I want to be CEO. Yes, I want to be a rock star. I want to be a soccer star. Yes, I want to have a big house. I want to have a Rolls Royce. I want this, that, this, that. We're jockeying for position. But what is the use of all this? It's simply all within the prison. The intelligent person thinks, "Let me. How can I get out of this place? I mean, this isn't my. This doesn't really suit me. That I have to go through birth, death, old age, and disease. Isn't there something better than this?" See, this is the intelligent person. Therefore, the what does Vedanta Sutra say? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you've got a human form. You're meant to try to figure out who you are. You've been suffering long enough. Now it's time to figure out who you are. Really figure out who you are. And once you finally figure out who you are, what's the next step? You have to be who you are. You see, to know who you are, that is Brahman realization. To be who you are, that is, as Prabhupada describes here, activity in Brahman. So that activity is called devotional service, bhakti yoga. And this is what Prabhupada has engaged us in. This is what our spiritual master engages us in. He engages us in devotional service, as according to the directions of our spiritual master, Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, etc. There are 9 different types of bhakti yoga, devotional service. So by engaging in these activities, which are based on hearing and chanting, by engaging in these activities, then what happens? We get the awakening of our original divine consciousness. We become liberated from the sufferings of material existence. This is not something you have to, nor would we want you to blindly accept. No. We give you the tool to perform the experiment yourself so you can see the result yourself. Just like when I was a kid in high school, in our chemistry course, teacher said, "Students, H2O equals water." So, that's all fine and dandy, but then she took us to the lab down the hall. And we did it. Each one of us did it. We had there's a little Bunsen burner or something, a Bunsen burner, a little test tube, and we had the hydrogen gas and the oxygen gas, and we followed the laboratory directions, and sure enough, there on that test tube was water. You see, we got water out of H2O, 2 parts hydrogen and 1 part oxygen, and lo and behold, there it was in the test tube. Water was actually sitting there. So now we're giving you a test tube. Actually, we are not giving. Krishna has given you a test tube. What is that test tube called? Consciousness. You've been given the test tube of consciousness. Now you've been given the ingredients. What do you put into that test tube? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What are the Bunsen burner? The 4 regulated principles. If you don't light the burner, you may chant, but you won't get the result, you see. You have to follow the laboratory, precisely follow the instructions in the laboratory manual. You have to chant a certain amount of rounds every day, 16 at least. You have to avoid the 4 pillars of sinful life. And then along with that, to really fine-tune it, you have to avoid the nama-parads also. 10 nama-parads. If you do those things, you'll chant 16 rounds, you follow the regulated principles, and you avoid the nama-parads. Those 3 things, then it is guaranteed that Krishna will be, do you realize your eternal spiritual identity, and Krishna will personally become revealed to you face to face, eye to eye. That's a fact. So you don't have to take it blindly. In fact, we don't want you to take it blindly. We say, do not take this blindly. You take all the ingredients for the experiment. You make the experiment on yourself. Do this experiment upon yourself. Follow the laboratory manual carefully. Don't try to invent your new recipe. That's not very smart. You follow the recipe given in the laboratory manual, and if you do so, we guarantee you will realize your identity beyond your material body, and you will actually come to the point of seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye. That you will experience, firsthand experience, you see. Bhakti pareshanu bhavavaraktir anyatra cha shatraka eka kala prapadnya manashya tasnyana shushtushti pushti churabhyonagasam. This is the most wonderful verse in the Bhagavatam, one of them. Of course, they're all most wonderful. How you can say one is the most wonderful, but every one of them is the most wonderful. But this one is especially the most wonderful. How many of you like Bhishadam? Yeah. This is a very, for all of us who like Bhishadam, that certainly includes me, this verse is very nice for all of us who like Bhishadam. This verse says that devotion, that loving devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from all material things occur for one who has taken up devotional service. Just as tushti pushti chudapagyo nagasam, just as nourishment, satisfaction of hunger, tushti, satisfaction, eradication of hunger and nourishment occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the activity of eating. So just as when we take prasadam, we get satisfaction, we get nourishment, and our hunger goes away, in the same way, by taking up this experiment of bhakti yoga, you will feel love of God awakening within your heart. You'll actually cry when you see the deities. You'll cry in ecstasy like Lord Chaitanya. You can come to that point of crying in ecstasy when you see the deities, you see. And then you'll not only be conscious of Krishna and the deities, but everywhere you go, you'll see how Krishna is manifest in many different ways. I'm the light of the sun, the light of the moon, I'm the taste of the water, I'm the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, I'm the sound in ether, I'm the ability in man. You become more and more conscious of how Krishna is everywhere. He's out in the beautiful mountains, he's even in the city, the hellish city. You'll feel how Krishna is present everywhere, more and more become conscious of Krishna's presence everywhere. And what is the third item? The third item is very natural. Viraktir. Detachment from all material sense gratification. Because if you're getting a higher taste, you see, why would you be interested in a lower taste anymore? If I gave you $100,000, I gave you a cashier's check made out to your name for $100,000, would you be happy? $100,000, here. Mother Pajavali, $100,000. Oh, wow, Hari Bol, thank you. Now I take it back. Oh. But you wouldn't be very happy. I mean, you wouldn't be very happy when I took it back. It was only April Fool's, it was a fake check. Oh. But if I give you a cashier's check for $1 billion in exchange for that $100,000, will you have any problem with that? No way. Okay, $1 billion. Wow, we can build a new temple here. We can have brand new apartments, everything. We do a complete renovation on the whole place, buy out the nursery next door, you know. They really do a huge thing here to just, you know, revolutionize our temple, and it'd be an incredible thing. $1 billion, you know. So Krishna consciousness is like that, you see. That $100,000, that's our material sense gratification. We think it's pretty valuable. But if we can get $1 billion, or how about $1 trillion? We're online again? Okay, good. So, in this way, try to understand what is Krishna consciousness. Because once you become connected with Krishna, any single or all types of sense gratification that may be offered to you within this material world, even the post of Brahmaji, they are just shama eva kevalam, a useless waste of time. Dhruva got that big position, you see. But he wasn't very attracted to it. He was able to rule the entire universe. You know, the politicians, they want some rule, you see. Just imagine getting the rule of the entire universe, but he wasn't interested in it. He had to do it just as an austerity. For him, it was an austerity. After he saw Prishnagarbha, it was just an austerity for him. So for one who has actually gotten Krishna consciousness awakened within their heart, anything in this material world is simply an austerity for him. He may accept it in the service of a Lord, but it's not enjoyable. It's not enjoyable. The only enjoyable thing for that person who has gotten the Sarupteena, Sarupena Vatishtate, for one who actually remains in that self-realized, transcendentally enlightened position, there's nothing enjoyable in this material world except for one thing, and that is to liberate the poor souls who are trapped here, you see. Prabhupada one time told my godbrother, Bhavananda Prabhu, he said, he said, it is not Bhavananda, it's Bhavananda. You see. Bhavananda, well, someone who relishes Bhav, you see. That's a big thing. Now, even the Mayavadis are into this Bhav. There's many Mayavadi kirtans, and they want to get into the Bhav. You see, Durga Bhav, Krishna Bhav, Ram Bhav, merging Bhav. They call it Bhav. It's a buzzword now amongst the New Agers. Give me some Bhav. Yeah, you see. So, but that's a shadow of Bhav, you see. This is the real Bhav. But his name didn't, Prabhupada said, no, it's not Bhavananda, it's Bhavananda, one who enjoys this material world. And he was thinking, oh, Prabhupada has really pinned me, he's really recognized my actual position. He was thinking when Prabhupada said that, oh, Prabhupada really knows what a rascal I am. And then Prabhupada said, by preaching. So actually, one who takes up this preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, he can enjoy this material world unlimitedly. What is his enjoyment? To take this entire material world and engage it in Krishna service. He's just like there's a 007 secret agent, this is 008. A secret agent, you see. The devotee, he is agent 008. And he is going around this material world. No one really knows what he's going on inside his head. But the devotee sees this is all the property of Krishna. Every dollar, every house, every acre, every person, every planet, this entire material existence is the property of Krishna. And right now it's been usurped by the influence of that rascal named Kali, the personality of Kali, not goddess Kali. The male personality, Kali, whose yuga we are in right now, the Kali Yuga. By his influence, everything now is being utilized in the service of Maya, you see, sense gratification. So the joy for that devotee is to wage war against the personality of Kali, to bring everything back to service of Krishna. So there are many more points, but our time has run out. I only really spoke about that one sentence. What can be done? Time is limited. I know there's a certain limit. In South Africa, they had me speak for 8 hours about pure devotional service, but I don't think we can afford that today. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Mana, this Kali, the Maya, is it existing only in Kali Yuga or even this?
The influence of Kali. I'm better without the microphone. Your voice doesn't need a microphone. You're really good. So, is the personality of Kali's influence outside of the Kali Yuga? Is that what you're asking?
No, that is only Kali Yuga. The Durga Mata.
Oh, Kali.
Kali, the goddess.
Kali, okay.
Is she there in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga also?
Is she the goddess Kali around?
Yeah.
Logically, it would seem, of course, she's around, but I don't. I haven't had any specific leelas to substantiate that. But these demigods don't only exist during the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is not. It's not the Kali Yuga. It's the Kali Yuga. In my thought for the day, I was criticizing the personality of Kali, and somebody got all upset. They thought I was criticizing Goddess Kali. They're two distinct persons. There's Goddess Kali, who's actually a pure devotee, and there's the personality Kali. You see, and when you spell it in English, it's the same, K-A-L-I, but in Hindi or in Sanskrit, it's different. There's a little extra bar in there that makes it Ka instead of K. You see? Or of course, we use the Roman transliteration. We put a line over the A to indicate it's Kali instead of Kali. But this is the Kali Yuga. It has nothing to do with Kali, the goddess Kali. She's a pure devotee. Anything else? Yeah?
Can you describe about the test tube? You said you have to put consciousness in the test tube. The burners have the regulated principles. But you missed out. What's hydrogen? You said what's oxygen. Where's the hydrogen? What other thing you need to make the electron water?
What did she say?
Oh, she's asking the example you gave about the test tube water making hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah.
But she wants to be more clear the consciousness to make in the test tube what are the ingredients.
What is it?
What do we add in the test tube to make the consciousness? You mentioned one is that chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. And of course, the Guru is also there. The basic principles of becoming the as described in the Nectar Devotion, what is the process of awakening love of God? The detailed science is there in Prabhupada's book. How do you awaken love of God within your heart? There's another list is given by Rupa Goswami. First of all, you have faith in the process. Second of all, you associate with devotees. The third step is you take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master by following the rules and regulations under his expert guidance. Then the dirt becomes washed out of your heart. And that is called anartana vritti. And then when that dirt is washed out of your heart, then you become nishta, you become solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. And when you're solidly situated in Krishna consciousness, then what happens? It starts to taste so sweet. Oh, sweeter, sweeter. Like the ultimate gulab jamun. Wow, at every minute. Wow, it's so sweet. You see? That's called ruchi. And then you become totally addicted to that sweet flavor. You couldn't dream of ever giving it up. That's called asakti, attachment. I've got the ruchi, but now I couldn't dream of ever not had. You're not being absorbed in this because it's so sweet. I'm just totally addicted now, a sakti stage. And then you get volcanic eruptions of spiritual ecstasy within your heart, the bhava stage. That's the preliminary stage of love of God. Then when love of God becomes completely mature, then Krishna reveals himself to you. That's prema. So the foundation is you really have to have faith. You want to know the one most important thing to make it all the way, you got to have faith. You got to have strong faith. You see, yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata garo tasyaite katita hyarta prakashyante mahatmanaha. Only unto that person who has unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master in Krishna, only unto that person are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So you really have to have that. If you want to know the one thing to make that experiment work, you got to have very strong faith, unflinching faith. Even if 10 million people came to tell you you're wrong, just like we see in many people, especially in Indian families where they're very tight family, no, Western families too, but most of my subscribers to my e-course, they tell me, you know, they get so much pressure from their family. Oh, I don't want to eat onions and garlic. You know, that's a big one. You don't want to eat onions and garlic. What do you mean? You know, we all eat onions and garlic here. So there's so much pressure. So just imagine if everybody in the world was pressuring you not to be Krishna conscious. All your friends, your family members, your neighbors, everybody in the whole world ganged up at you and said, you shouldn't do this. This is wrong. This is stupid. This is dumb. You're an idiot. You're a blind fool. How strong could you be to stand up against it? How much faith do you really have, you see? So that with unflinching faith, it means even if the whole world tells me I'm an idiot, even if they lock me up, even if they nail me to a cross like they did Lord Jesus, you see, I'm not giving up my faith in this process. You see, unflinching faith. So that's the most important thing you got to have in your test too. Then you'll have that faith, and then you'll take the sadhus, the devotees association, and that's the first step. And then after that, and then beyond that, then you have to have a spiritual master who you take as your ultimate authority in your life. You take his orders as your very life and soul. Whatever Guru Maharaj instructs, that is my life and soul. You see. So once you do that, then you're solid. You have faith. You have the devotee association. You have a spiritual master. Now you're ready. It's just a matter of time before the water manifests. You just stay plugged into the process and it'll all come. Nukra. So, anything else? Questions? Okay, well, we thank you all very, very much for your participating in the Bhagavatam class this morning. Prabhupada very much wanted that devotees should come regularly, so Prabhupada is giving you all his special mercy because you've come for class today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you, Shantabhu ki jai.